floods, fires, benzene spills. We've seen it all here in the Northland. And when there's a disaster, it's the emergency preparedness, management, and response folks who are the ones that we count on to keep us safe. Last week, many of those professionals attended the Under One Roof Conference to talk about some challenges, to learn some new techniques, and to share lessons learned from recent responses. Tony Guerra is the Readiness Coordinator with the American Red Cross, and he joins us this morning on the phone to talk about it. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning.
We've really had, when you stop and think about it, we've really had some misadventures here in the Northland, sort of. Certainly our emergency response folks have been tasked with some unusual occurrences in Duluth, especially in the last 10, 20 years or so.
Right. Yeah, I remember when I started at the American Red Cross, you know, we worried about fires, floods, earthquakes, you know, natural disasters. But now, since September 11th, 2001, it's a whole new deal. Things we got to worry about and plan about. And I just like to reassure the community, there is a great group of people behind the scenes taking care of things.
So let's talk a little bit about the conference. One of the things they said that they were going to give folks the opportunity to talk about had to do with challenges in their community. What are some of the challenges that emergency management folks face here in the Northland?
Well, you know, Preparedness starts at home. The number one thing I hear on any kind of disaster, a small house fire or to a large wildfire or flood, I never thought it happened to me. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I could retire. But preparedness starts at home for any kind of natural emergency or technologically caused emergency. So got to be prepared at home. That's, I think, the biggest challenge, you know. People, we're up here in the Northland, we think nothing can get us, but hey, 2 years ago we had some pretty good floods, folks up north have wildfires, so it's out there, it can come and visit us, and we and the nonprofit, Red Cross, the government, and other agencies, we're preparing for it, but preparedness does start at home.
Can you give us an example of how a person can prepare without tipping over perhaps into the survivalist mode?
No,
necessarily.
We tell folks they should be prepared to be on their own for at least 3 days, 72 hours. You know, food, water, medicine. And if you got a pet too, pet food and stuff like that. I mean, 72 hours is our guideline. So, you know, here in my house, I have cases of water and some food set aside and stuff. My wife often makes fun of me about that, but hey, we'll have water, by gosh. But, you know, simple stuff like that. And the key thing, too, is your medications. Have your meds, you know, a good supply laid in all the time. And another thing, too, is cash. We have no power. We're so used to going to an ATM. Man, there's no power to run the ATM. No power to run the credit card machines. Cash is good.
Now, about medications, I'm thinking, first of all, about pharmacies that are only going to refill X amount at a time, and I'm also thinking about medications that might expire.
Right.
Is that kind of a challenge?
Well, a 30-day supply is not that uncommon to get. Some scripts go up to 90 days or so, but, that's one of the things we plan for. If we open a shelter because of evacuation, we will have medical staff there to help replace any kind of medications if they expire or cannot leave the home, you know, bring them when they leave the home. So, you know, things are covered like that. But something like that, the key word I always tell folks, it's a disaster. You know, things are all going to be crazy for the first 24 to 48 hours. And once we get control, things sort of get almost back to norm.
Now, one of the other things that was going to happen at the conference was to talk about some lessons that were learned from recent responses in, I'm guessing, probably in Minnesota, in the whole area.
Well, what was interesting was we had the emergency manager from Cass County, North Dakota, where the one train derailed about a year and a half ago now. The one oil train derailed, and they had to evacuate the town. And, you know, that was standing room only there and in his session. And lots of folks got to listen how a community had to be evacuated because of the oil trains going through the town. The one derailed, three or four cars started on fire, and they evacuated the whole city. Well, as you may know, oil transportation on the rail system has increased over 900% in Minnesota. A lot of oil moving through towns similar to the one Castleton, North Dakota. There's a lot of meetings, preparedness, planning going on for that contingent if it happens.
Boy, I was thinking about that as we were talking about some of the disasters that we faced in the Northland and wondering if that was one that folks are becoming more cognizant of. It certainly sounds that way.
Oh, on the emergency management level, it's up there. Yes, sir. It's up there high.
Wow. Now, one of the other things that the conference also was going to talk about are some new techniques and some kind of best practices when you get the opportunity to get together and share those ideas. Did you come out of the conference with anything in particular that you said, oh, this is great, I'm excited about this?
Yeah, we had some great speakers come in and, you know, they've been there. They've done it. One I can think of from Des Moines, Iowa, she spoke about emergency family assistance centers, and that's something we've always practiced up there during the airport exercise and stuff, but never really had to open one. But a family assistance center would be open like after a airline incident, an airline crash, or a large rail, a transportation accident, where we would be reunifying families with their passengers on that plane. She was involved in a family assistance center after a terrible mall shooting down there. And she gave us, you know, blow-by-blow description of how she opened up a family assistance center and worked it for 4.5 days, 5 days, and closed her down. But, you know, we've always practiced that, but it was good hearing from folks. And that's the best part about this conference is, you know, talking with other folks have done it, the partnerships that are made before the disaster. I mean, if you know the folks you're working with when that disaster hits beforehand, it goes a lot smoother. And that worked out fine for the floods of 2012 up here in the northeast Minnesota area. I mean, we all knew each other from previous meetings, exercises, and it's kind of nice being able to talk, you know, see someone across the table during a disaster, know them by his or her first name.
You bet.
That's part of this conference. It's just the partnerships that are made and forged and improved on.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking some time to share some of the highlights of that conference with us. Really interesting information, not only for you folks who work in the business, but for us who depend on you to take care of us.
Oh. Thanks. Hey, can I throw out next year's dates?
It sounds great, Tony. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tony Guerra is the Readiness Coordinator of the American Red Cross, and he joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.